the takeaway on this, and it's not just Charles County, this is in so many jurisdictions all across the country, and the takeaway is that taxpayers, communities, cannot afford sprawl.
Governor Glenn Denning, thanks for being on the line. The development lobby for Charles County, the Balanced Growth Initiative, is pushing hard to prevent our county from moving in the direction of smart growth. If you had a chance to talk with the opponents of smart growth, what would your message be?
I think the basic message for everyone, proponents and opponents, would be to look at the future. Look and see what is developing right before us now. Just as one example of the change that is coming is the population itself. We have not only 78 million baby boomers, many of whom now are seeking to age in place but do not seek anymore the 2- and 3-bedroom suburban sprawl house. Many of these baby boomers are, in fact, at the peak of earning income potential as well. Even more importantly is that there are 91 million millennials coming on. These are the shiny brights that are coming out of college. These are the people that will affect our knowledge-based economy of the future. And the truth of the matter is, all over the country, these people are settling in certain places. They're settling where there is a real sense of place. They are not moving to the suburbs. They are not following in their parents' footsteps and going sprawl. They are the energy behind these revitalization of cities, behind the emergence of new suburban communities, and things like this. Now, what happens most importantly when I say to look to the future is the companies that need the talent that comes from this group of 91 million people, they know what is happening, and they know that if they're going to attract the best and the brightest, the shiny brights of the future, they've got to locate their business in a place where there is a real sense of place, where there's walkability, where there's a mix of housing choices, where you can easily stop and have a coffee in the afternoon out on a cafe, or you can walk to dinner, or you can meet your friends at a local watering hole or something of this type. So that's the one important part. The second is the economy itself. The economy is increasingly based on knowledge-based portion of the economy. Even the service sector feeds off of that. And if you're not in the mainstream there, you're just not going to prosper. And then the other thing, of course, is the energy cost. Yes, we're slightly lower now because the world demand is down from the recession and because of natural gas. But people are projecting, including the Wall Street Journal and including the president of Exxon, that by the end of the decade, we're going to be looking at potentially $7 a gallon. And if you have to drive every place, what are your alternatives going to be? And so I would say it's not only about the quality of life, it's not only about the environment, it's not only about sustainability, but if we want to be competitive, economically competitive, and if we want to prosper, and if we want to position ourselves for the future, then we have to pay attention to these trends, and these trends demand a strong dose of smart growth, walkable communities in order to be successful.
As an advocate for smart growth planning and a former governor, do you think Charles County should be focusing on building big new road projects like the Cross County Connector instead of looking to the future with transit-oriented projects like light rail?
The truth of the matter is that across the country, these big superhighway projects and all, just like the dinosaur, we're seeing the end of them. They just do not work. The ICC, which has been a disaster, may have been the last big project of that type in the entire state. What we see emerging everywhere is a focus on light rail, on transit systems of all kinds, and on walkability. Now, I speak all around the country, and in fact, all around the world. Last summer, I was in China speaking, where they're starting over 100 new high-speed rail lines all at the same time. I just came back from Nashville, where they're starting a process for a new light rail system down there that is currently under construction. In Tucson, Arizona, where they're changing their entire planning to greatly expand their light rail system there. The same down with Raleigh-Durham in North Carolina. Now, what's happening on this is that people are seeing the light. They're seeing that if we are going to be sustainable in the future, and if we are going to build walkable communities, we need some type of transit. Now, I understand some people say, well, this is an expensive project. Well, let me tell you, those roads are expensive projects, too. Then I hear people say, well, the density is not there for it. That's the whole point. You start planning for the density now. I ask the leaders just of Charles County just to look up the road a bit to Montgomery County, where they have decided that the Rockville Pike will have a light rail system running right down the middle of it, connecting White Flint up to Rockville. And as a result of that, they're going to significantly increase the densities and the housing choice along that corridor. And they're going to do that now and serve it first with bus rapid transit and focus on walkability and then add the light rail in the future. That is what is occurring just about every place. And a community that finds itself 20 years down the road with only roads and roads that can be widened further and further is simply not going to be competitive.
The Maryland Department of Planning has conducted an analysis of the roadway construction and maintenance costs for current trends in Charles County versus the adoption of a smart growth scenario for the county. According to the MDP, the estimated cost will be almost $2 billion more for roadway construction and maintenance than if the county embarked on a smart growth scenario. So here's the question. What's the takeaway, and what's the implication for taxpayers?
The takeaway on this, and it's not just Charles County, this is in so many jurisdictions all across the country, and the takeaway is that taxpayers, communities, cannot afford sprawl. It is the least efficient type of development. I have seen study after study that shows the savings that occur when you focus on smart growth, when you focus on infill, on reuse, on density, on mixed housing types, on transit development, all of this stuff. It's not only that it is more expensive to sprawl, and these are expenses, by the way, that are generally offloaded by developers to the public. And so you say, oh, look at this shiny new shopping center here, or look at this brand new subdivision. Isn't that wonderful? We're making progress. Most subdivisions do not pay for themselves. They induce traffic, and then everyone just turns to the taxpayers through the county government to pay for this. The second part to keep in mind is that those new roads that are built normally will produce more sprawl. And so the traffic out to subdivision A becomes unbearable. People get angry. They start yelling at the county commissioners. The county commissioners say, okay, we'll build a new road. We'll widen the road. And then the developers come in and say, oh, we have this new capacity. We can build another subdivision. And you get in an endless cycle that way. The last thing that I would mention on this is we tend to look primarily at the capital budget and say, oh, this is more expensive to sprawl than to build with a smart growth formula. But it's not just the capital budget. It is the operating budget as well. It is operating the new schools as necessary. It's maintaining the new miles of roads and lanes of roads as necessary. It's patrolling those roads with our police. It is responding much further distances to emergencies, whether it be fire or ambulance. And we see what happens over and over. You'll get a series of subdivisions. It produces traffic. You add the roads. More subdivisions come. Then all of a sudden people say, we need a new firehouse out here in our community. And again, you get in this very vicious cycle. So the basic message or takeaway from this has got to be, can't afford to sprawl on either the operating or the capital cost.
You may have heard that Charles County is focusing on building a tech park, which will be located adjacent to Chapman State Park. My question is, first, are tech parks generally good economic engines in the year 2013? And second, do you think Charles County is on the right track with this idea?
It is so interesting to see this being pushed even today. The truth of the matter is that this is one more development vehicle that is fading rapidly into the past. It's interesting, for example, no one is building these huge enclosed shopping malls anymore. And in fact, most of them are now being converted to other things. The same is true for tech parks. When I speak around the country, this is what I run into. One of the most famous tech parks, and everyone says I wanted to be just like that, is the Raleigh Research Triangle down in Raleigh, Durham, North Carolina. Interestingly, that triangle, research park, is being totally redeveloped as a mixed-use walkable community center. And when I talk to the people that are in charge of this redevelopment, what they told me is that increasingly they could not attract the companies that would historically have gone to a suburban office park. They call it a research park, but it's an office park. They would not go there any longer. Instead, they want to be in downtown Durham, downtown Raleigh, downtown Cary, North Carolina. And the reason is the companies want to be able to get these shiny brights that are coming out of the major universities in the Research Triangle, and they want them to go there. They're not going to go to a suburban office park. So they are totally rebuilding this thing. And in the future, it will be a mixed use with residential, commercial, office, both rental residential and condominium purchase and townhouse. Now, it's not just that Raleigh Research Triangle is the most famous of these. This is happening everywhere. Just last month, I spoke in Tucson, Arizona, and the person that was in charge of the research parks, that is university-affiliated research parks for the entire state of Arizona, was asking me about what was happening in Raleigh, and he said they're very much aware of this, and they are changing their entire strategic plan so that future investments in research parks will actually take advantage of both mixed-use, walkable communities, and transit. I might add, by the way, that in Raleigh-Durham, they're in the process of passing referenda, the first was just approved, to create a light rail system that will link not only the universities, but will link the research park as well. And the when I met with the board that's redirecting that park, they said without transit and without mixed-use smart growth, that the Raleigh Research Triangle will no longer survive. Now, there's a certain irony if you're standing here and you're saying, oh, our future is to go build a research park, when everyone else is saying these are on the decline and they're going to be disappearing rapidly.
As a former elected official and someone who has had to run for election and plan a campaign, does land preservation and environmental preservation, I mean, is that something that is popular with voters?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, I ran my reelection almost exclusively on smart growth and the progress that we had made in land preservation, our rural legacy program, and things of this type. I mean, that was one of the major differences. I had invested a lot in education, but the real new focus, if you will, was in terms of this. We are aware, we have, through Smart Growth America, several networks of elected officials all over the country, suburban, central city, rural, Republican, Democrat, independent, who basically have adopted the quality of life, the preservation, conservation of agricultural, forest land, open space, and the reduction of sprawl, as their vision for the future. And they're winning, and they're winning big. I'm reminded, for example, the mayor of Oklahoma City, a Republican, who took a proposal to the voters of Oklahoma City to make Oklahoma City one of the healthiest cities in the country by focusing on walkability, by adding urban pocket parks, by creating a walking urban forest sprawl, forest area, and they took it to the voters. They approved $700 million to invest in this new green Oklahoma City, and at the same time reelected the Republican mayor. Now, the reason I emphasize that success story, and anyone can go online and look at it, is this is not, you know, let's say a Bethesda or a Arlington that we're talking about. This is very conservative Oklahoma City in the state of Oklahoma, overwhelmingly dominated by Republicans, and they've seen the light, and they're moving very aggressively.
Well, I appreciate your time today, and we look forward to seeing you on May 30th.
Great. It should be fun, and I look forward to it.
Thanks a lot, Governor.
Right. Bye-bye.